Blog Talk Radio.
Capital Markets Today, where industry experts discuss capital markets, trading, real estate, and mortgage lending, is brought to you by Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management, where private, nonprofit, and public collaboration are providing industry and social solutions as well as investor returns. Please visit www.nscm.us and learn more. Now your host of Capital Markets Today, Louis Amaya.
Welcome to Capital Markets Today and the IMN NPL Notes and Default Servicing Forum podcast series. The forum is being held in Dana Point on June 3rd and 4th. Listeners of the podcast can use code NSCM30 when registering for a 30% discount. The outlook for the U.S. economy is dimming, with several institutions lowering their growth forecast after April economic reports were published. J.P. Morgan Chase cut its forecast to second quarter growth to 1% from 2.25%. Oxford Economics lowered its estimates to 1.3% from 1.6%. Barclays forecast went down to 2% from 2.2%. April reports showed retail sales unexpectedly declined, factory output was below forecast, business equipment orders declined, sales of previously owned homes fell, and permits for single-family homes hit the lowest in almost 2 years. April data does not consider Trump ratcheting up his trade war with China this month by raising tariffs on some goods and threatening more levies. Joining the podcast to discuss the economic outlook and how it could impact the NPL market is Darren Bloomquist, Vice President of Market Economics at Auction.com. In this role, Darren analyzes and forecasts complex micro and macroeconomic trends within the marketplace and greater industry to provide value to both buyers and sellers using the Auction.com platform. The economic outlook up next on Capital Markets Today.
This podcast is brought to you by NS Capital Management. NS Capital Management supports the acquisition and management efforts of various investment funds in the residential debt and real estate asset classes. NS Capital Management offers its partners transparent portfolio management methodologies, fund administration, proprietary technology, in-house REO management, and unique NPL acquisition channels. Visit NS Capital Management on the web at www.nscm.us.
Darren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Thanks, Louis.
So before we get started, why don't you provide us on some background on your role at Auction.com and Auction.com itself. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, but we can...
Absolutely. Yeah, Auction.com is a real estate marketplace, primarily for disposition of distressed assets. And really has revolutionized over, I've seen this, I just joined Auction about 4 or 5 months ago, but I've been seeing it from the outside how the company has revolutionized this this long kind of archaic process of auctioning off properties at the courthouse steps and made that into a real marketplace where there are actual demand from buyers coming there that helps the sellers of these distressed assets and really creates a real marketplace there just by marketing these properties and trying to sell them rather than that being an afterthought and applying technology to help sell properties at the courthouse steps as well as online once if and when they become REO. And so that's what Auction.com is about. And my role here is really taking a look at the broader trends in the housing marketplace and economic marketplace to see how those impact both of our buyers and our sellers on our platform, as well as the business itself, and helping to, one of the roles is that I'm here for is to get out my crystal ball and look at what's coming down the pike and how that may impact the business and also our buyers and sellers, what the coming months and years will bring in terms of particularly the real estate market and how that will impact them. Of course, it's hard to predict, but we want to be proactive in understanding what those outside kind of market forces could, how those could impact our business and our buyers and sellers.
Excellent. Well, just we're going to take a look at into your crystal ball today. So I read off some information on forecasts in the intro about some economists seeing decline in future economic growth. What are you seeing in your analysis of the industry, and what do you see the economic outlook being over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when we look at the economy, there's really just all the numbers that are coming out are pretty strong, I would say. Now, there's some recent stuff, especially around the trade situation, that could destabilize some of that. But most of the really broad economic numbers out there are still very strong. When you look at unemployment and the job situation, when you look at GDP, those are strong. However, when we look at some of the housing market indicators that we look at quite a bit, and of course focus on even more as that affects our particular space quite a bit, we definitely see softening there in the market, and we've been seeing that really for the last 6 months. And I think that points to we don't necessarily think housing will cause a recession, but we are forecasting that probably in the next 18 months to a year there will be some recession, most likely a mild to moderate recession event that will affect housing. Of course, now housing is already softening, and that's not because of a recession happening. It's actually a very healthy thing, I think. It's housing softening because of affordability constraints is the simple way of saying it, the oversimplified way of saying it, is causing housing to slow down and respond to those affordability constraints. And so we're already seeing that, but then this recessionary event that we would expect in the next 18 months to 2 years, would further degrade the housing situation.
What type of in this light recession you're speaking of? What type of defaults would you see in comparison to the defaults during the crash? Were they primarily due to job loss or you know, increased bills, the economy? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we can't identify, at least, and of course maybe we're missing it, but we can't identify any Achilles heel in the housing market or the mortgage market itself that would be anything akin to what we saw during the last recession, which that recession in terms of impacting the housing market was very was abnormal. Typically in a recession you see home prices, for instance, maybe those will go down 1 to 5%. You'll see a correction in home prices of 1 to 5%, at least nationally. Some regional areas may be impacted more depending on the type of recession and what industry it impacts. But during the last recession, we saw home price correction, really a crash of 30 to 50% in most markets across the country. And that was because the housing market was built on a house of cards, and that came crashing down really at the slightest headwind blowing through the economy. And we don't see that this time, that kind of house of cards situation. We see the housing market is much more built on a solid foundation this time around, and so we would expect, potentially during the recession, a correction in home prices of 1 to 5%. And then when it comes to defaults, we would expect those definitely would tick up or go higher, but it would be probably, I mean, just roughly speaking, at the worst case scenario, we'd see about half the number of defaults and actual completed foreclosures that we saw during during the last recession, which there was a point where we saw over 2 million defaults, foreclosure starts in a given year, and we'd expect even with a recession that we would struggle to see half that number happening even given a recession.
In the data that you're looking at as far as housing prices and acquisitions, are you seeing less speculation, or I guess you would take a look at cash deals versus finance deals in the current market?
Yes. It's one interesting thing is we do see one impact of the recession and the housing market crash is there just seems to be more cash deals in general. Now, there was a spike in cash deals immediately following the housing crash, and that's come down. I mean, it was close. It was over 40% at one point of sales that we were tracking that were being tracked in the public record data that I was very familiar with in my last position over at Adam Data Solutions. Over 40% were cash deals. Now that's come down into the 20%, but it's still hovering higher than what we were seeing prior to the recession. And so that seems to be more of a long-term impact of the last housing crash is that people are just more likely to use cash. And then that combined with the down payments are still average down payment is averaging about 10%, close to 7 to 10% of the purchase price, and so people tend to have more skin in the game, whether they're buying with cash or a bigger down payment, and that's one of the things that gives me confidence that housing is built on a fairly solid foundation. Now, that's not to say there aren't some weaknesses. I mean, there slowly but surely we're seeing lending loosening, and particularly in some niche markets such as the fix and flip market lending to that to investors. And then also FHA has some weaknesses. We're seeing higher debt-to-income ratios there. So there are some weak spots, but there are some soft patches. But overall, not that systemic weakness or fatal flaw that we saw in the mortgage originations last time around, where basically very widespread use of loans that required no down payment or negative amortizing. We don't see that type of behavior, at least widespread across the market. And that gives some confidence. Yeah.
What should note buyers know about the demographic changes that are currently occurring within the U.S. market? Is there points of risk and opportunities that one should focus on based on some of the changes that are occurring?
Yeah, I mean, in general, what we hear, I think a lot of folks hear this anecdotally, but really the data bears this out that we are seeing a migration from the high-priced coasts, the California coast, and then also New York, as the top primary spots, and we're seeing population migrate out of those markets and into more affordable housing markets that tend to be more in the center of the country, places like Phoenix and Las Vegas and Dallas and other parts of Texas. And the census migration data that came out just a month or two ago really bears that out. And I think for note buyers, that is something to definitely keep in mind. There, I think we definitely could see those coastal markets weakness there because as you see this migration, population migration, that's going to cause, there's going to be weaker demand in those markets. And there already is because of the affordability, and then the migration on top of that is going to is going to create weaker markets in those areas, housing markets that could surprisingly make the value of underlying assets for notes that these note buyers may have, may own or be considering buying, more a little bit more, you know, less valuable and therefore more risky, if that makes sense. And we're already actually seeing some signs of home price, not just last year we saw home price appreciation slowing down. This year we're actually seeing some markets, some bellwether markets on the coast post year-over-year declines in home prices. So it's not just home price appreciation slowing down, it's actually home price depreciation. I mean, the prime example of that is San Jose, California, which if you look at in the first quarter of this year, if you look at the NAR numbers, National Association of Realtor numbers, home prices, median home prices there were down 11% year-over-year. And actually, they were down in the fourth quarter as well. And then you see other markets in coastal California are still posting increases, but it's getting down to like less than 1%. And so this all ties back to that migration, that inward migration we're seeing out of these high-priced areas. If you look at Santa Clara County, for instance, in the census data, the net migration in 2018 was minus 25,000 people. 25,000 more people left Santa Clara for another county in the U.S. than came there from another county. This is domestic migration. The one thing that's helping some of those areas is that international migration is still positive, but the domestic migration is going negative pretty strongly. And that's hurting those high-priced coastal markets.
Based on the data that you're seeing in the current economic environment, as well as into the near future 2 years, should investors be selling off assets currently? Is it in preparation for maybe a softer market 18 months from now?
I think at the very least that investors should be assessing that possibility and considering it. It's we have been really over the last 6 months, 6 to 12 months, undergoing a shift, a significant shift in the housing market, and definitely a softening. And depending on the type of notes that are owned and underlying assets behind those notes, that investors should be paying attention to those market trends and considering, maybe now is a good time to take some of that, take some risk off the table. And so for sure, I think, it's hard to prescribe that for across the board for everybody that they should be selling, but at the very least, I would say that should be something investors should be looking at probably more carefully than they might have been in the past couple of years.
During the last recession, there was a fairly decent increase in small servicers that popped up to serve the smaller investors. As we move and we have, this environment that's fairly strong, but we're moving into more maybe a slowdown. Do you think there's going to be a servicer consolidation, small services? Because there seem to be there seems to be more servicers over the last couple of years, small servicers popping up. What are your thoughts on a servicer shakeout? Consolidation over the next 18 months, and what impact can that have?
To be honest, that's something I need to become more familiar with that world. I can't really speak to that's one item I can't really speak to yet. that is a world that auction.com plays in quite a bit, and you know, a lot of our clients are those servicers. But I haven't quite got ingrained in that enough to know whether we'll see that happening and what implications that will have on the marketplace at this point. So sorry on that one. I have to pass on that one.
What national housing policy issues should investors be aware of that are either being implemented or being considered?
Well, certainly, I think probably top of the list for me is the end of the conservatorship of Fannie and Freddie. That that seems to be being pushed much more so than it was previously, and therefore, you know, there's been talk about it for a long time, but that end of the conservatorship could certainly have significant implications for the industry, depending on how that shakes out. So something to be keeping an eye on for sure. I think what HUD is doing in the marketplace is certainly important as well, and you know, another government impact on huge government impact on the marketplace. And one of the things I mentioned earlier is FHA has been gradually over the last few years loosening up some of the lending guidelines. Now I think there may be a reaction to that back the other way as they start to see the results of some of that loosening. But we do see the average DTIs basically at an all-time high, 43% debt-to-income ratio on FHA loans. And so how their policy on allowing originations or on allowing DTI and just generally around originations, I think will be impacting, especially what we see, you know, on the disposition side, as some of those loans fall into default. And we do see an uptick in that, especially around loans that were originated in 2014 and beyond. It's not a huge wave of defaults, but it is an uptick in the rate of foreclosure and default on those 2014 vintage loans. And I would expect that over the next vintages as those age. So that's another impact I think that we see on national housing policy. And certainly from our perspective, looking at how Fannie and Freddie, from auction.com's perspective specifically as a business, one of the things we look at is how Fannie, Freddie, and HUD approach disposition once it does go bad. And one of the things that we've seen a move toward, and in part because of some of the innovation we've brought to the industry, is to, rather than the old default of once a loan goes bad, is to just automatically take that back as an REO. The bias from even Fannie and Freddie and HUD seems to be swinging more toward, we actually have lower loss severity if we dispose of that asset earlier in the foreclosure process, and that could be as a short sale or it could be as a foreclosure auction. And so that's something that we're looking at, because as Fannie and Freddie and HUD make policy decisions about their stance toward disposition methods, favored disposition methods, or preferred disposition methods, that of course impacts our business. And we do see, one thing that's good for us is we do see this movement toward realizing that basically earlier in the process is better, particularly if, I mean, this is true across the board, but in a more recessionary environment, it's even more risky to take back a property as an REO. And so that's on a more individual business level, that's one of the things we're definitely looking at from a government policy perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to make sense because they have so much data on their historical dispositions. I imagine they'd be able to slice and dice their data to show, by value bucket and by zip code what their average loss severity is through the normal process and net present value a bid. That makes sense. That makes all the sense in the world. Well, I mean, and apparently they're doing that with, the short sales and also the NPL sales. I mean, I'm sure that's what they're taking a look at. Do you have any thoughts on Puerto Rico as compared to the rest of the states as far as their economic outlook and default rates?
Well, certainly, there's not as much data available for me to chew on with Puerto Rico, unfortunately, but we actually some of the auction.com data is very helpful there. We've definitely seen the distressed assets coming through and being auctioned off in Puerto Rico. And that's one of those markets that there's no question is in a lot of trouble right now. So there's you talk about migration. There's been a lot of migration out of Puerto Rico, and so it's a market that's down and out. Now, when we talk a lot, of course, to our sellers who are selling these distressed assets. But one of the things that stands out to me is when I talk to our buyers, they see, and that tends to be real estate investors who are buying up properties at the foreclosure auction. They're the kind of folks who think of Puerto Rico as an opportunity. Although it's definitely down and out now, it's an area that eventually will be back on its feet from their perspective. And so now is a great time to buy there when everybody else is running away. So that's a perspective that we get from our buyers on Puerto Rico, and I think that's true. I mean, a market like that is going to bounce back. It feels like everything is going wrong there at this point, but that will eventually turn around, and folks who were able to swim against the current and invest in Puerto Rico will be sitting pretty, I think, in 5 to 10 years from now. One thing layered on top of Puerto Rico, and this is true of other areas, is the Opportunity Zone tax incentives that are available there. But yeah, there's a lot of Opportunity Zones in Puerto Rico as well as other parts of the country, and those tend to be those areas that are down and out. But investors who are willing to bet on them will probably be, especially if it's an opportunity zone that has that extra benefit of the tax incentive, will be coming out ahead there down the road.
And we're just about out of time, but I want to get one last question in. Based on what you're seeing, are there any unique opportunities that you see an NPL investor should be looking at over the next 12 to 18 months? Anything out of the ordinary or any unique opportunity that you would be eyeing if you were an NPL investor based on the data that you're seeing?
Well, I think buying some. I think what I just mentioned is buying some of these non-performing loans that. It's certainly become more competitive in that space and harder to find the great deals and margins that maybe were available a few years ago. But investors who find some of these areas, these non-performing loans, maybe in areas that other folks are not willing to touch, which there's still risk involved there, but for sure, and I don't want to understate that. But those are the type, I think, of deals that investors could be looking for, is those non-performing loans that are in, if you can identify, and I don't know if this is possible always in the due diligence, identify, for instance, that they are in secured by assets that tend to be heavily in opportunity zones, which may often be the case if they're especially lower priced types of assets, then that may be an opportunity. As we're at a point in the cycle where we're close to the top. There's no doubt about it, and so it's harder to find those deals. But going to those areas that other folks maybe are not as willing to touch is what's, I think, still left in the space right now.
Excellent. Well, Darren, I appreciate your time and joining the podcast. And you're speaking on the Economic Outlook panel at the NPL Defaults Forum in Dana Point in a couple of days. So I'll see you over there.
Yeah, it sounds good. Next Monday.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lewis. Have a great day.
That wraps up today's podcast on the Economic Outlook with Darren Bloomquist with Auction.com. You can subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes and download every podcast to your smartphone as it's published. You join the Capital Markets Today group on LinkedIn. Today's show is brought to you by NS Capital Management, extracting value through effective asset management. You can find NS Capital Management on the web at www.nscm.us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Capital Markets Today is a leading industry content provider. Please visit Capital Markets Today at www.capital-mt.com for industry data, downloads, news, blogs, and to listen on demand to all past podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes to have the latest podcasts downloaded to your smartphone automatically, giving you the flexibility to listen at your convenience.